Well, we, as we do each month, it's that time of year when we come to the Lord's table and we gather around together. It's a special time of fellowship with the Lord because we're a blood-bought people, and it was Christ's sacrifice that brought us into the family of God. We've been born again, and He came unto His own. His own received Him not, but to as many as received Him, them He gave the power to become the children of God. And so we come as God's children here this morning to remember the sacrifice that Christ made. We come to think in terms this morning. I just wanted to have a few thoughts about the blood of Jesus Christ and talk to you about the problem of anemic Christianity, where the realities are that in many churches today they don't sing about the blood of Christ, and they don't talk about the blood of Christ and the sacrifice of His life, and any mention of blood is taken as being old-fashioned and cavemanish or whatever. And so in many churches, I've even heard of times where performers would go in and they were asked not to sing about the blood of Christ. It's found offensive to the unbeliever and to those who have defected from the foundation of Christianity. And so we have very much an anemic Christianity in our country today. We have an anemic Christianity in the world today because the blood has been taken out. The sacrifice that Christ made on the cross of Calvary was a bloody mess. And the truth of the teaching of God's Word is that the wages of our sin was death. There's no way around it, and it's bloody. And the realities are that as we've studied through the book of Hebrews these last number of months, and I guess years at this point, we have come to the study of the tabernacle and the blood of the new covenant. And as we look at these things and consider these things, we realize that going back to Adam and Eve, there was they were clothed in animal skins, and that moment in which they had sinned against God and covered themselves with fig leaves, God demonstrated and established a teaching principle, a truth to mankind. And so the Scripture tells us that God sacrificed that animal there that enclosed Adam and Eve. But that blood was required, and there was a covering, a sacrifice made. And that teaching has been ingrained into God's people through the years. So Israel, in their sacrifices and their worship in the temple and in the tabernacle, there were regulations about blood sacrifices. And that blood sacrifice was a demonstration that the wages of sin is death. And God wanted that lesson taught. But I think we probably can't conceive of how brutal and how awful it must have been for Adam and Eve to experience that first sacrifice. Because you see, they had lived in harmony in the garden. And we read about the future in the millennial kingdom of Christ when lion will lay down with lamb and the curse on the earth will be removed. And there's going to be a harmony there with mankind, with animals, and the consequences of sin removed. And there will be lions laying down with lambs and children laying over the bed of the asp, according to the Scripture, according to the prophecies. And that the issue of sin and all of the kind of harsh things that we see in the wild and think of in terms of wild animals simply won't exist. And I believe that's pretty much how it was when with Adam and Eve there in the garden. It seems that they had some type of even communion and communication with the animals. It was not weird for Eve to be speaking with a serpent or to be communicating with a serpent at that point in time. I find some of those things pretty interesting to think about. But it was different. And when that first blood sacrifice was made, it had to be a striking, horrible thing to see and to realize that they were clothed and to be taught what it meant to be clothed in the skins of that animal and for that animal to be sacrificed and to be taught that the wages of sin was death. But that was given to us and demonstrated through the years. And so we come to our scripture memory this week and we find that, and according to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. So it was true in the old covenant and demonstrated daily in the temple that your sins, the wages of your sin is death. And that God is a righteous God, and as He spoke and told Adam there in the garden that the wages of sin is death, and that you will surely die. And Adam most assuredly did die physically, and every man and woman and child after that has experienced death. And so the truth, the principle of the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sin has been taught from the very beginning. From the very beginning of the conflict, the very beginning of sin. And we sing such songs as "Nothing But the Blood of Jesus." We sing songs as "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins." And we're here this morning as a blood-bought people because Christ sacrificed Himself on the cross of Calvary because He willingly shed His blood, then we are able to have a fellowship with God. And there's no other way to have fellowship with God than through the sacrifice of Christ. So that's the significance of the blood and the significance of what we celebrate this morning when we partake of the Lord's Supper. We're acknowledging that there's nothing that we could do works-wise to make up for the sins that we have committed. The Scripture says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of our sin is death. And there was nothing that we could do, humanly speaking, on human terms, through human works, to balance out that wage. There was no way to balance out the justice scales before God in regard to sin, apart from the shedding of blood, apart from death. Christ was the only one who, in innocence, was able to bear our sin and didn't have to answer for His own. And so the Scripture says that God made He who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So God took our sin, placed it on Christ. He became our substitute. He atoned for our sin. And He made propitiation for the just wrath of God for our sins. That's the gospel. There is no gospel apart from it. There's no Christianity apart from that message. That Christ died for you. That His death was necessary. That we couldn't make up for it with religious, moral, or ethical principles and living with good works or any means at mankind's disposal that could justify Himself. So Jesus Christ said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but through Me." And so I want to take you to Psalm 103, and we've spoken this passage a number of times. You can go there, or you can just listen and think along. The psalmist, in speaking of the plan of God's redemption, he says that He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. That's good news for us, good news of the gospel. Verse 10, he says, "For He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness over those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he separated our transgressions from us. Just as the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are as grass, and as the flower of the field, so he flourishes. And the wind has passed over it, and it is no more, and the place acknowledges it no more. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. We'll stop there. But we just want to remember and take note this morning that we're a blood-bought people, that just as according to the law, blood was the cleansing for sin, so under the new covenant, the blood of Christ was necessary for the forgiveness of our sin. I want to make a couple of points here. First of all, there was in the Old Testament a Passover lamb. And in that Passover lamb in the Old Testament and under that new covenant, it's important for you to remember as we're going through Hebrews and we're doing these studies that sin in the Old Testament was passed over. That's the key. And so when Jesus came to that communion, that Passover celebration with his disciples on that fateful night in which he was betrayed, Jesus Christ instituted the new covenant on the basis of my blood, he said, but it came out of the Passover, the demonstration of the Passover. And you'll remember that at the Passover, the children of Israel took the blood and put it on the doorpost in the form of a cross over the one above and on the one each side, and that the death angel passed over their homes because of the blood. And so the concept, the idea of the blood from the Passover is that God passed over those sins. And that's the key word, Passover. That's Old Covenant. And all things according to the law were cleansed. It was necessary to have this passing over. So we find in Hebrews 11, it says, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. He's speaking of Moses here in Hebrews 11. Lest he destroyed the firstborn, he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So the picture is that the death angel did not, he passed over the houses. That was Passover. Romans 3:23 through 25 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness. Notice this little phrase here in Romans 3:25. Because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. So if we get the picture right from Scripture, what Paul is teaching, what's taught in Hebrews, is that those folks in the Old Testament, when they were in the tabernacle and when they made those sacrifices of those animals, it was with the idea of God passing over their sin, pardoning their sin, and they were looking forward, according to this phrase, that in the forbearance of God, those sins that were previously passed over and previously committed were taken care of. And that's what happened with Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Okay, so when we get to the new covenant, we find in the New Testament, they say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, the key here under the new covenant is sins are taken away. You see, sins aren't passed over anymore. Our sins are taken away. So what comes true is what's stated here in Psalm 103 that we just read about, that he has not dealt with us after our sins nor rewarded us according to our iniquities, but he has separated us. He has dealt with finally and completely in Christ our sin. And His blood has paid the penalty in full. So we're innocent before God, and we're innocent through faith. Notice that Romans 3 says, as a propitiation in His blood through faith. So our trust, our faith, is in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, what we celebrate today. Our faith or our trust is in God's declared word in regard to our sin, that sin, the wages of it is death, and that we're going to die, not only physically, but be separated from God, which is a worse form of death. It's spoken of as the second death in Revelation, and that means death means separation. The second death means eternal separation from God who created us. And that death has been taken care of. The penalty for that death is paid in full by Jesus Christ. So you, brothers and sisters, this morning stand justified before God, not because of anything that you have done, but because you have trusted in the sacrifice that Christ made for you. That's the bottom line on the gospel. There's no way around it. Christ is the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through Him. And so, therefore, Hebrews 10:4 teaches, and we'll look at these in the future, but it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. You see, the takeaway part had to be by Christ, the Lamb of God, who had no sin, the perfect Lamb of God, whom God afflicted with the penalty of sin. He made He who knew no sin to become sin on your behalf, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So this morning, God has taken what God did at the point of salvation for you, is those sins were taken and placed on Christ. His righteousness was taken and given to you, and that's what you stand in this morning, the righteousness of Christ. Now, one other thing that I want to say about the blood, there's three things that I want to say about the blood in closing before I ask the men to come and we celebrate this time of remembrance. Number one, the covenant was founded upon the blood. Okay? And that's the point of this passage that we're looking at, and we'll look at more in detail as we come to it here in Hebrews the next few weeks. According to the law, one may almost say all things are cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There's no taking away the sins without the shedding of the blood of Christ. And so the covenant was founded upon the blood. You can't have Christianity without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, folks. It's not Christianity. So there's a lot of religious churches out there and denominations that have defected from the blood of Christ, and they have defected in truth from Christianity. They're outside the gospel. They're not believers. Okay? That's the bottom line. Secondly, and let me give you a verse there, Luke 22:20. Likewise, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Christ willingly went to the cross on your behalf, folks. That's the gospel. And we want to be clear about it. We want to be clear in regard and unrelenting in the message that God has given to us, because you're ministers of reconciliation. You've been called to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, and you need to speak clearly about what the gospel is. Okay? So, that blood which was shed for you. Secondly, there's a second point about the blood. The flesh is cleansed of defilement by it. So, it says Hebrews 9:13, "For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctifies for the cleansing of the flesh." So the point was that in that passing over of the sin in the Old Testament, the blood was a matter of cleansing of the flesh, of our fleshly nature, of the old sin nature. And that's the picture that's given. It's the principle that's taught in Scripture, that it cleanses the flesh. It cleanses from the defilement of sin and flesh. And then thirdly, the conscience is cleansed of guilt by the blood. So the blood is that on which the covenant is founded. The blood is that which cleanses from the defilement of the flesh, and the blood cleanses the guilty conscience. And Hebrews 9:14 states that how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So this morning, as we come to the Lord's table here, we can serve God with a good conscience. Do you know why? Because the blood of Christ has paid the full penalty for our sin. And in that regard, we're innocent before God, declared innocent because of the work of Jesus Christ. And that's where our faith is. Our faith is in what God has said in regard to the gospel, what God has said in regard to our sin, what God has said in regard to the gospel in the manner in which Christ has taken care of that sin. So our consciences are clean. Now, God has made provision through the confession of sin. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you came this morning with sin that has broken fellowship with God, God in His provision has provided a mediator for you who stands at the right hand of the Father, who is seated at the right hand of the Father, having completed that work through the blood of cleansing you from that sin so that you may have fellowship with God this morning. And that's what you need to do before you come to the table. If there's any known sin in your life, the Scripture says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful because of what Christ did. He's faithful to do it. He'll forgive you regardless of how many times you've committed that sin and fallen short of the glory of God. He has provided a way to forgive that sin and to be faithful to forgive that sin because it's paid in full. And He is not only faithful but also just because Jesus paid the just full penalty and completed the work. There's nothing more that you can add to it except by faith receiving what Christ did for you on your behalf. Okay? And then the Scripture says He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So I urge you as a pastor who cares for you, submit yourself to the Lord and allow Him to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, because that's His desire, to make you and conform you into the image of His Son. And you can't carry that sin around and have fellowship with God. You can't carry that sin around and have communion and fellowship and relationship with God. So deal with it in the manner in which God has dealt with it, and come to before God this morning with a clean conscience to have fellowship with Him today. So He's here with us, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit indwelling His people, and we're experiencing at this moment the presence of God Himself amongst His people. And as we come to the table, we want to worship Him and give thanks for the one sacrifice that could take care of the problem and penalty for our sin. So as we ask the men to come, I want to give you a few minutes as they're coming to confess any known sin and come in good fellowship and standing with pure consciences that have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ to a time of worship around the Lord's table. Men, would you come?